You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey everybody, it's Monday, December 18th, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio. Coming up on the show today, we got our biggest takeaways from Week 15. Are James Cook and Rashee Rice must-start options going forward? Plus, we're also breaking down some of the top performers and biggest disappointments of the week. We are pretty much through the first week of the fantasy playoffs. One more game still to be played on Monday night between the Eagles and the Seahawks. There were some really good things, some really big surprises, and some real big disappointments. How is your... You have a bye in a couple of leagues. I was going to ask you how you're doing, but you're like, you got the week off, basically.
There's six leagues that I really care about. Three had a bye, three had matchups, and if A.J. Brown gets me a yard tonight, literally 1 yard, all six would have made it to the semis. So I'm pretty happy right now.
I like your chances. I'm just putting that out.
Fingers crossed.
I like your chances. That's all I'm saying. Let's get going, as we always do, with some fantasy headlines. And we'll start with one of the games that was played on Saturday. Ja'Marr Chase, in the Bengals' win over Minnesota, suffered an AC joint injury. According to our own Ian Rappaport, Chase may not miss time. Head coach Zach Taylor says Ja'Marr Chase is day-to-day. I mean, simple question, probably has a simple answer. If Ja'Marr Chase is playing, does this worry you at all?
It adds more volatility to him because an injury is always something to some cause for concern. But with how good Browning is playing, it would still, I mean, I'm still playing Chase if he plays. If he sits, I think T. Higgins gets a big boost. If Chase plays, I think Higgins is still in play, but he becomes a little more volatile as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, at this point in the season, you're not getting away from Ja'Marr Chase. This isn't like one of those. We talked about Patrick Mahomes last week, right? And whether or not you're starting Patrick Mahomes because he hasn't been playing well. Like, Ja'Marr Chase has been playing well. Yeah. There's no drama here. So if he's going, he's going to get targets. Jake Browning is slinging it. So you're starting Ja'Marr Chase pretty much regardless. Just as long as he's able to suit up and go, he's in your fantasy lineup. In New York, Zach Wilson left the Jets game against the Dolphins in the second quarter with a head injury that at first wasn't being called a concussion, then it was. There's also some reports of dehydration. Either way, it was an awful game for the Jets this past week. Let's just say Trevor Siemian starts. If Zach Wilson can't clear concussion protocol, can you play any of your Jets in that situation?
It becomes really scary. Like, I was all set to write about Garrett Wilson as a start this week in the stardom sit-em, but if, because they play the Commanders, the best matchup for passing attacks. But if it's Trevor Siemian, it becomes really difficult to trust. I think Breece Hall, because of the matchup, you could still start. If Zach Wilson plays, not only do I think you could play Garrett Wilson, I think in super flex leagues, you could potentially stream that. Like, he might be my Justin Herbert replacement in a super flex this week.
Ooh, wow, that's spicy. Look, I'm sticking with the same Jets you've been rolling with all year long, right? If you've been rocking with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, you continue rocking with Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. I don't think it matters who the quarterback is. those are really the only two playmakers they have in this offense. And whether it's been Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, Trevor Siemian, they get the ball to those guys. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot more volatility involved. But if you have been rolling with Garrett Wilson, I think you keep rolling with Garrett Wilson. End of story. Some unfortunate news out of Baltimore. Rookie running back Keaton Mitchell is going to miss the rest of the season. Suffered a knee injury in the game last night against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And really a disappointing, frustrating, sad end to what was a really good rookie season for Keaton Mitchell. Got word that Melvin Gordon is going to be elevated to the active roster. You and I had both forgotten that Melvin Gordon was in Baltimore. I'm not going to ask you if we're picking up Melvin Gordon, because I think we know the answer to that. But does this give, say, Justice Hill a little bit more value? Does this help Gus Edwards? Who picks up the slack here?
I think we'll see Gus Edwards go back to being the lead runner. Like yesterday, it was Keaton Mitchell until he got hurt. And he was averaging over 8 yards per carry yesterday. Then Gus Edwards had 16 carries. The efficiency struggled. He scored a touchdown and still only managed to get you 12 fantasy points. That being said, they get the 49ers next week. Gus Edwards doesn't have double-digit fantasy points in a game without a touchdown this season. I still think Gus Edwards is someone to avoid next week because the matchup against the Niners is so difficult.
It is. I will say this. In a pinch, I could probably make a case for it. The Niners' run defense has been so-so. They actually gave up a lot of yards on Sunday to James Conner and the Cardinals. But I think more of it is a volume play than necessarily a matchup-based play. So that makes me sort of worried. I do think Justice Hill starts to see some more opportunities, especially in the passing game, get a few more targets there. But this hurts, man, because Keaton Mitchell was playing some really good football. And we'll see how serious the knee injury is, but obviously going to miss the rest of this year. And it becomes a question of how much into next season does he miss as well. Staying in the division and going over to Pittsburgh, the Steelers offense, well, you see, it's bad. And firing Matt Canada hasn't made it a whole lot better. On the weekend, Kenny Pickett was injured. Mitch Trubisky got the start. Mitch Trubisky did not get the finish. Mason Rudolph took over at some point late in that ball game. And head coach Mike Tomlin has said it will be Mason Rudolph who starts against the Bengals this week. That has provided Kenny Pickett cannot go, which looks very improbable. Tomlin does say that Pickett has been improving, hasn't completely ruled him out, so we will see. But, I mean, Florio, as bad as this offense has been, especially if it's Mason Rudolph who gets the start, can you trust any Steelers this week?
If you trust any of them, I think it's Deontay Johnson. They have played together, these two. Like, all these highlights you're seeing are from a couple of years ago for Mason Rudolph. George Pickens wasn't there. Deontay Johnson is the one that he has chemistry with. Johnson is the one they like to go to in the red zone. He has a touchdown and over 13 fantasy points in three straight. George Pickens is too boom or bust for me, and the volatility is through the roof right now. Friermuth is the same way. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren continue to eat off of each other's plate. I would try to avoid this offense outside of Deontay Johnson if possible.
I would definitely avoid the pass catchers for sure. Maybe it's because I just keep trying to make fetch happen. Is that I keep trying this rotation with Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris. And I think the Bengals are vulnerable against the run. So that makes me believe that maybe one or both of those guys could have decent games. But in the end, if the offense can't move the ball, which is kind of what we saw this past weekend against Indianapolis, then it may not actually matter. But I just keep trying to tell myself the story and using this process of the Steelers' bad passing game versus a bad Bengals run defense and seeing whether or not Harris and or Warren can be one of those guys. But very well, could be wrong. The answer could be none of the above. We will find out. Those are the things we saw over the past weekend in the NFL. That gets us to the things we learned and our biggest takeaways from week 15. And I'm sure this first one especially warms your heart, Florio.
James Cook must start RB1. And yeah, I'm a Bills fan, but fantasy comes first. And me and Marcus have been talking of James Cook since July, June, whenever it's been. And it was a slow process early on, but 24 fantasy points per game in the last month since Joe Brady has taken over as the offensive coordinator. 36 fantasy points yesterday, over 200 yards, two touchdowns. Should have been a third. We'll give him a pass, but he dropped a third touchdown. He was doing things that haven't been done by Bills running backs since the 80s. And like must start RB status. And the thing is, all this 24 fantasy points per game has come against the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Jets. Tough matchups on paper. Now he gets the Chargers, who just gave up a billion points to the Raiders last week. Not only is he a must start running back, James Cook just might mess around and win some people fantasy championships.
He really might. I was looking at him. I mean, he's a solid RB1 for the rest of the playoffs. And now I'm thinking we're drafting him, what, high RB2 next year? When we get to fantasy drafts, as long as things don't really change again. One thing I know, we got Arthur Smith again this past week, right? We spent the last couple of weeks talking about how great it was that we're seeing Drake London get all these targets, that Bijan Robinson is getting all these snaps and touches and looking really efficient. And we went into this weekend saying, does this continue or do we get Arthur Smith again? I know on Friday's Stardom Sit'em show, Laquan Jones is like, there's no way, right? He's not going to do it to us again. He absolutely did it to us again in a rainstorm against the worst team in the league. Tyler Algier had more touches than Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts combined. The Falcons go on to score 7 points. They lose to the Carolina Panthers. You just continue to wonder, how does this happen? How does this work that you spend 3 top 10 picks on 3 incredibly talented players, and then you don't use any of them? This is a guy who's supposed to be an offensive-minded head coach. We sort of marveled with what he did in Tennessee all these years. I really thought I was over this because we hadn't done like a real Arthur Smith rant in several weeks. And all the negative, bad feelings just came flooding back watching what happened. Where if you didn't know, maybe you thought that Bijan got hurt or something. You just couldn't figure it out. But no, it was Arthur Smith being Arthur Smith again.
The worst thing that coaches do, Arthur, and don't call me biased against Arthur Smith because I was yelling at the Buffalo Bills coaching staff for doing this. Running backs know not to fumble. When they have a random fumble, it's not like they're doing it on purpose. So punishing them by taking your best playmaker off the field is only detrimental to your own team and hurting your own chances of winning. Bad coaches continue to do that. Sean McVay saw Kyren Williams fumble twice yesterday and was like, he's our best player. I'm not pulling him from the game.
This ain't high school. It's not college, right? I mean, you give the reason you are counting on these guys, you give them a chance even when they make mistakes. I don't understand it. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, we're finding some help for Patrick Mahomes. It's definitely not Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I was on the Kadarius Toney hype train early on this season, and I quickly jumped off of it when I realized that they were using Rashee Rice the way that I wanted them to use Kadarius Toney. And Rashee Rice has blossomed into a must-start wide receiver 1 for fantasy football purposes. 92% of the snaps yesterday led the Chiefs in targets, catches, and yards. That has been a trend now for weeks. Not just their receivers. He has been outproducing Travis Kelce as of late as well. In the last 4 games for Rashee Rice, 8 catches per game, 84 yards per game, 20.4 fantasy points per game. He is their top go-to weapon right now. Even if you want to say that Travis Kelce is their number one pass catcher, Rashee Rice is a must-start fantasy wide receiver 1. Don't even think twice about playing him the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is, right? It's Travis Kelce, it's Rashee Rice. Everybody else is just kind of fighting for scraps in that passing game, and that's all you got to worry about. The last thing that I learned from this past weekend is that Tommy DeVito's Linsanity run, it might be over at this point. Look, he had started 4 games coming into this week. He had played really, really well. He was the talk of the NFL, right? His agent was getting love, rocking green suits on sidelines and that sort of thing. And then the Saints came and they put extreme pressure on him. They just came up the middle. They came from the edges. They put him under duress all day long. He struggled getting the ball out. He struggled connecting with his receivers. The next 2 weeks, he's got the Eagles and the Rams. And I know we've been picking on the Eagles for opposing passing games because their secondary has been a problem. But they do have guys up front that can get pressure on the quarterback. And you wonder whether or not they're going to start bringing more blitzes, bringing more pressure. The Rams may want to do the same. I think what we saw from the Saints on Sunday might be the blueprint to slowing down Tommy DeVito. And so it's been a nice run. We all knew it was going to end at some point, and we might have seen the beginning of the end in week 15. Time to take a quick break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate. Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's, And boom, Next Level Burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for, potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it, Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad, deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Looking at the top performers from week 15, still, of course, one game to go on Monday night, but Jared Goff, the indoor cat, got all cozy on the couch. The 5 touchdown passes, more than 31 fantasy points there. Christian McCaffrey doing Christian McCaffrey things. 115 rushing yards and a touchdown, 72 receiving yards and 2 more scores, nearly 42 points for CMC. Jordan Addison, where we thought maybe you should avoid him. Nope. 6 catches for a buck 11 and 2 tutties. That's almost 30 points for him. Sam Laporta continuing to ball out. 3 touchdown passes against the Broncos, 28.6 points for him. Kaimi Fairbairn, 4 kicks, 4 field goals and an extra point. That was 17 points. And the Raiders DST, who just obliterated Easton Stick and the Chargers, 25 fantasy points. I'm going against Josh Palmer and the Raiders defense in one league. It was great to open up on Saturday morning and see that I was down 45 points already after just those two guys.
Josh Palmer was just one broken play, too.
That was it. That's all it takes. All right, let's talk some top performers, though. Some of the guys who maybe did not make that list that you just saw or that I just read. And just when, you know, T. Higgins, man, like we weren't sure what to do with him, but apparently he's still in play.
Yeah, I wanted to give him some love because that catch that he made on Saturday, the game-tying touchdown catch, arguably the touchdown catch of the year. He catches it, stays in bounds, manages to spin his body and arm around just to go over the plane. And the thing is, we know it's been a lost year for T. Higgins. Disappointing performances, injuries kept him on and off the field, but we still know that T. Higgins is one of the best talents in the league, and next week he gets a Steelers defense that kind of looks checked out as of late, so I think he's back in play in our fantasy lives.
Not to mention that T. Higgins' mother is out on Twitter just ethering people. Like, yeah, it's, I don't know, you want to go look for it, you can go find it, but T. Higgins' mom bringing heat to people who are criticizing her son. For me, it was Jalen Waddle, who had a big game. We weren't sure what to expect with the Dolphins' offense, knowing that Tyreek Hill wasn't going to play. And it's just a reminder that Jalen Waddle, on a lot of other teams, could be a wide receiver one. He just happens to be stuck with, like, the wide receiver one playing across from him this season. But he went out and balled. 8 catches, 142 yards, a long touchdown from Tua Tagovailoa against that very good Jets defense. So I know at times, especially early in the season, it was frustrating because Tyreek Hill was eating and Jalen Waddle wasn't. But this is a reminder of why you spent a relatively high draft pick on him and what he can be for both the Dolphins offense and for your fantasy team. Meanwhile, another team that plays its home games in Florida. Look, Baker Mayfield's playing good football. I have no jokes. That's all there is to it.
So for most of the year, Baker Mayfield has been a solid floor streaming quarterback, like 16 or more fantasy points in 9 of his 14 games. That's about 65%, which is passing in New York City public schools. but in the last 2 weeks, 20 or more fantasy points, season high 29 last week. Now he gets the Jaguars, who've allowed a whole boatload of passing yards, touchdowns, fantasy points, 2 quarterbacks. I think Baker Mayfield is very much so in play this week, and he could get people into the fantasy championship perhaps because his weapons are great, the matchup is good, and he's going to have to put up points to keep up with the Jags offense.
Yeah, I do think that's going to be in play. I actually do like him as a sleeper this week, so good news there. I know it's been rough if you've had Terry McLaurin on your fantasy roster this year, right? You look around, Sam Howell is slinging it, putting up all these passing yards, and you got to figure, well, Terry McLaurin's eating, right? No, he actually went into week 15 with his lowest yards per game average of his career. And then halfway through the game, Sam Howell got benched. Jacoby Brissett came in there and was like, F it, Terry's down there somewhere. Just started heaving up YOLO balls to Terry McLaurin. He has his best day of the season, 6 catches for 141 yards, a touchdown. Very nearly had a second touchdown, was ruled down just short of the goal line. That's the good news. The frustrating news, though, is that the Commanders aren't turning away from Sam Howell, nor did I expect them to. They have nothing to play for this season. Why wouldn't you get your young quarterback some reps? They just decided to sit Howell down last week. So as fun as it was having Jacoby Brissett get Scary Terry involved, next week we go back to more of the same. And then, by the way, in week 17, they get the 49ers. So that's even more bad news. They get the Jets next week. You know, maybe that might have been your last hurrah for Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I think in a lot of shallower leagues, I'm trying to get away from Terry next week.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the way to go there. Meanwhile, another wide receiver that we're used to seeing put up big points.
Cooper Kupp is back. I told you on Club Sud last week, this guy will get you 25 fantasy points. He almost got it on the nose. 25.1 got you that extra point of a tenth of a point just to, for good measure. But 25 plus in two straight games, over 110 yards in two straight games, a touchdown in three straight. Cooper Kupp is back. I know at the beginning of the year he was out, then he hurt his ankle, and it was a bunch of down weeks. It doesn't matter. Cooper Kupp, if you got to the playoffs with him, obviously you are starting him, but he might just be a league winner. Different way than we thought when we predicted this before the season, but he just might come through after all.
I just think it's a reminder that, you know, like, it takes guys time to heal. Even when they're back on the field, doesn't mean they're 100%. It just means they're good enough to play. And I think we've seen Cooper Kupp slowly get healthy as the season has gone along. My last one here is David Njoku. And I think we talked about him a little bit last week, but I just feel like he hasn't gotten enough love for what he has done this season, because even before this last stretch, last two games have been amazing. 16 catches, 195 yards, 3 touchdowns over the last two games. He and Joe Flacco were working well. But even before that, he was doing enough to hang around in that tight end one range. Now it's him and Amari Cooper who are the top two targets in this Baltimore or this Cleveland passing game, I should say. And at this point, I don't know how you get away from him for the remainder of the season, the next 2 weeks, because he and Joe Flacco are really clicking together. And I just feel like we need to give him some more attention for what he's been doing this year, because we talk about some of the top tight ends in fantasy. His name just hasn't been involved in the conversation, and it probably should have been. So there it is. David Njoku, the Chief, doing big things over the last couple of weeks. So those are the guys who made us feel great. How about the guys who made us feel terrible? And try to say this without a big smile on your face, because it happened against your team.
Dak Prescott. If you have Dak Prescott and you manage to survive the week, you should celebrate, because as of right now, with the Monday Night Football still to go, he is the QB30 on the week. Every single starting quarterback outside of Zach Wilson, who left immediately, outscored Dak Prescott. Two Washington Commanders quarterbacks outscored him. Bailey Zappe, Bryce Young, Desmond Ridder. The list goes on. It was a brutal day for Dak Prescott. And the thing is, we could be like, all right, we know to start Dak at home, obviously. On the road, maybe you get away from him. Next week, they play the Dolphins. I think you just keep riding with Dak Prescott, because then he gets to the Lions at home. So I know a lot of you probably looked at the schedule and thought, Dak's going to win me championships. Hopefully you survived this past week, because he still can. But yeah, you needed some other players to step up in a big way if you had Dak.
Yeah, you absolutely did. It was just a bad game all around for the Cowboys. It was also a bad game all around for the Tennessee Titans, who they were a hoist on their own petard. They had the hubris to wear the Houston Oilers uniforms against the Houston Texans. And I think karma came back to bite them. But on top of it, Derrick Henry just completely shut down. 16 carries for just 9 yards, 4 targets, 4 catches for 1 yard. He had 10 total yards in that game. First player in NFL history to have at least 20 touches and produce less than 15 yards from scrimmage. That was per Ryan McDowell, who does a lot of great work. You should follow him, Ryan McTwenty3, on the Twitter machine. But an awful, awful day. The Titans get bumped out of playoff contention. So their season is in effect over. And now you got Derrick Henry sort of pondering his future. I would imagine these next few games are the last ones we see with him in a Tennessee Titans / Houston Oilers uniform. Was very surprised that they didn't trade him closer to the deadline. I know we've talked about that. I was surprised they didn't try to trade him, but I guess they were still hanging around.
Him and D-Hop. But that being said, Henry, who does he get next week? They get the Seahawks. I still think you got to stick with him.
Yeah, that's true. There's another chance for him to bounce back with the against that Seahawks run defense. But I knew there was a chance that it was going to be bad. I didn't think it would be that bad.
Henry has gone for over 150 yards, I think it is, in like four of their last five games against the Texans. No team has ever wanted to stop him more than Houston did yesterday.
Yeah, that's probably very, very true. That'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. Be sure to listen tomorrow. We're answering fan questions. Plus, Matt Okada is going to drop by with his top waiver wire targets of the week. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.